Erev Tov, Gemara Chatima Tova. My name is Jay Kalish. I am president of the YU Israel Alumni Association, and I'm pleased to welcome you here this evening for the annual Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva, an event which has become a fixture in the Israel Alumni Aseret Yemei Tshuva process. And we are grateful to the Hausman and Stern families for their continued support for this annual event. I'd like to take a minute just to update you on what has been happening with YU Israel alumni. We're seeing increased activity throughout Israel as we have implemented a strategy of empowering the regions to arrange activities of interest to the specific regions. For example, under the leadership of J.J. Sussman, the Modi'in area has been particularly active, with new activities starting up in Ra'anana and Efrat, and we're looking to expand into Beit Shemesh, into Rehovot, Petach Tikva, Be'er Sheva, among other areas, and welcome your participation. Future activities which are on the schedule now include a family Shabbaton, which is scheduled for Hanukkah. You will be seeing information about this shortly. Regional learning groups around the themes of Torah Umada under the name of Yodea, regional kollelim throughout Israel, and a student hospitality program. We are in the process of compiling a YU Israel alumni directory and ask that anyone that is currently not receiving mail from YU, whether that be email or snail mail, please fill out the cards on your seats and return them to us at the end of the evening or mail them in. We in Israel experienced a very difficult summer. The war has left us with a lot of pain, but little in the way of resolution. With this as a backdrop, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, I'm reminded of the theme of the Mishnayot in Masechet Ta'anit, Al Kol Tzara Shelo Tavo Al Tzibur, that we look to our spiritual leaders, to our Rabbanim, to give us chizuk that we need in facing Yom Kippur this year. An interesting example of chizuk that I saw was of the Eish Kodesh, writing in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1942, and he was concerned about the fact that the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah were not as intense as they were prior to the war. And he's saying this on Shabbat Tshuva in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he's trying to analyze why this has happened. He gives two reasons, but the second reason is, and I'll quote him, "Shelekol davar gam le'emunah v'gam le'simcha tzrichim ish shehu ya'amin v'hu yismach. Ma she'en ken Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who will be speaking on the topic of tshuva and joy, is our Rosh Kollel at the YU Israel campus, and the Rabbi Henoch and Sarah D. Berman, professor of Talmud at Ritz, and the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion. We are honored to have him address us and provide us with divrei chizuk this evening.
I'd like to begin with two preliminary remarks which have to this evening's discourse. The first has to do with the topic in general, which to some I think may seem not only a little strange but even esoteric. From my perspective, however, it is neither, and I'm convinced that much more can be said about the topic that either time or my limited talents can and knowledge will enable. Precisely for that reason, however, I want to stress at the outset that I do not pretend that I'm going to give you a comprehensive presentation, either in the historical and cultural sense or in the phenomenological sense. Nonetheless, despite the lack of comprehension, comprehensiveness and sweep, I felt assured my reflection on the topic with the tzibur may be of benefit for both the audience and myself. Second, another circumscribing omission, if you will, I'm going essentially to omit any discussion of the semantic and substantive meaning of joy. I shall assume that more or less we have a reasonably accurate sense of its import, and shall content myself with a summary of affirmation that I refer, when I speak of joy, to neither festive celebration as such, nor to hedonistic experience, but rather to emotional and spiritual gratification, pleasurable and satisfying in its own way, but still very different from some of the elements that we associate with joyous celebration. And I certainly am not going to be discussing joy in the context of enjoyment, either in the Elizabethan sense of being possessive, or in the modern sense of pleasure as such. For those who have read C.S. Lewis's autobiography, Surprised by Joy, its title derives from the opening line, "Surprised by joy, impatient as the wind," one of Wordsworth's sonnets. The term joy will unquestionably have arbitrary associations. But these two I leave for this evening to the back burner. מדרכי התשובה, להיות השב צועק תמיד לפני השם, בבכי ובתחנונים, ועושה צדקה כפי כוחו, ומתרחק הרבה מן הדבר שחטא בו, ומשנה שמו, כלומר אני אחי הבינו אותו איש עשה אותה למעשים, ומשנה מעשיו כולן לטובה ולדרך ישרה, וגלה במקומו. שגלות מחפרת עוון ושגרמת לו להיכנע ולהיות ענב ושפל רוח. Of the modes, the expressions of tshuva, that the person is repentant should exclaim constantly, תמיד, in front of the Bnei Shleilam, with crying and implorations and engaging in tzedakah to the best of his ability, distancing himself from the matter with regard to which he had sinned, changing his name by way of expressing that I'm to the point, to the effect, I am someone else and not that person who did those terrible things. He changes all his actions in the direction of that which is good and just, and he emigrates from his place, inasmuch as emigration is a kapara for sins, inasmuch as it causes a person to feel downtrodden, very humble, and low-spirited. The Rekeach has in Hilchos Tshuva, this is a roughly 12th century, not quite contemporary of the Rambam, a tshuva in his tshuva, he has a tefillah which he composed for a person who wants to be chayzer tshuva properly. He stands for the Ben Shleilam, and he says, "Vani dubeya b'dema libi palgimayim yirdu einai, ashlo shamati toratcha, tzar mtsukot libi archivu, v'etna levu shisa ki orid adim imeni, v'etvadeh lefanecha b'tzuk tzarat libi, ki avonotai avgu roshi, יתנה לחטאותי וכשידמה יאמר במר בימותי יאמר וכשידמה it's not like quote what he should be saying וכשידמה when he cries יאמר במר דימותי יחבך חאון הפכה כבי בדם ליבי הנמס כבי איש קדחתי בהפכה ותשובת הריסוסה ישיבו הפכה בבכי מימני ונוזלי דימותי יחשבו כניסוך יין ומים ומשמן בשרי כחלבים ואמורים ודמיין נחסר כאילו נזרק על רבי המזבח כל הנחותי כל שירי הלוויים וכל גניחותי ככל תופים וכינורות ושבירת ליבי כשברים ותרועות שופרות וניתוק מרשה ליבי כנימי כינור ועוגב וחלישת יבריי כעריכת יברים ופתרים ושפיכת נפשי כמים ימחו פשעי ודם ליבי תמחה אבונותיי, ולכלוח גופי יחבו חטאותיי, ובבידוי ידע שם נפשי יחברו שמותיי, וניב שפתיי ויגיעו לבבי יתכפרו רביוני, ויורי וקריאת לבבי יקראו כל ספרי אבונותיי, ורוב נחמתיי, הם ינחמוך וחנינותיי יגלגלו מידת החמך לכונני. Broadly speaking, I won't go into all the details, he speaks here of wellsprings of tears flowing from his eyes, of utter anxiety, sadness, tzarat libi. And in detail he speaks as to each part of him, which has somehow been decomposed, as it were, in the process of tshuva, that should not be regarded as part of an offering, korban, which is part of the mizbeach. The whole spirit of the piece, quoted by the way in Sefer Chassidim as well, has to do with the sense of deep, deep mourning, sadness, tragedy. Ben Yehuda, Shari Tshuva, early in the Sefer, lists some of the primary components and principles of tshuva. The third one is hayagon, sense of mourning and tragedy. Yishtane kiliyotav yachshov kama rabba ra'at misham himrait yotzro. He should think with deep anxiety and mourning how terrible it is, a person who has countermanded the orders of his creator. V'yagdil yagon bilvavo, he should see to it there's as much sadness in his heart. V'sar mitcholel b'mirayonotav. V'yaranach, and b'mirut leiv, he should gasp in bitterness. He continues in this vein about the significance of yagon and yagon and yagon. Starts the next paragraph. Umedregot ha-tshuva u'malotea, the different levels of tshuva and its gradations are a function of figodel ha-mrirut, are a function of the extent of bitterness, v'otzem ha-yagon, and the depth, the intensity of yagon, of sadness, of mourning. These citations, drawn from a variety of sources, on the one hand, the unquestioned primary representative, although certainly much more than that, of the philosophic tradition of Sfarad in the Rambam, one of the primary voices of Hasid Ashkenaz, the Germanic tradition, ascetic in its character and thrust. Rabbi Yoina, almost a century after the Rambam, Sfardi, but very atypical of Sfarad, all speak in the same voice. And as the citations I read, and these could have been replicated many beyond this, clearly indicate and amply illustrate, joy is not quite the concomitant, characteristic concomitant of tshuva. Much the same might be said of Perek Tehillim, perhaps the best known Perek dealing in Tanakh, dealing at a personal plane with the subject of tshuva and its confrontation. Perek is, of course, Perek Nun Aleph. I won't read the whole perek, but read selectively. Amnatzeich mizmor David, v'hoelav natan ha-navi kashubal bat sheva. Bat sheva. חנין אלוקים כחסדך, קראו רחמך מחיף שעי, הרב כבסני מעבוני מחטאתי תעריני, כבשעי אני עדה וחטאתי נגדי תמיד. לכל לבדך חטאתי, ורע בעיניך עשיתי למען תצדק בדבריך, תזכה בשופטיך. מסכים לפי פסוקים, הסתה פניכם חטאי וכל עוונותי תמחי, throughout the sense of confrontation, with the sense of sin, the presence of sin, felt, experienced, confronted, is dominant. And here too, both in the statement concerning the primacy of sin, and antedating, as it were, the creation of the human spirit, הן בבון חוללתי ובחד יחבת נעמי, הן אמת חפצת בתוכות וסתום חכמת הודיעני. And dealing beyond that, not only with its origin, or with its present force and pervasiveness, כבשעי אני עדה וחטאתי נגדי תמיד. Again, joy is hardly what seems to be the order of the day. In this respect, Perek Tehillim, in addition to what we saw previously, pretty much confirms our own intuitions and conforms with our sensibility concerning the place of joy within the context of tshuva. If we were to think for a moment what the components that are that related to it are. There are many elements which you identify with the process of tshuva. And numerous metaphors employed to analyze and describe it. Take the first. It is often referred to with the medical terminology that the Rambam so much liked, as did others of his confreres, as a kind of spiritual disease, to be treated as it were symptomatically, a disease not the less dangerous, not the less debilitating, for being, if not self-induced, at least self-enabled. In more halachic terms, secondly, chet is often described as defilement, is tume, which has in Tanakh a dual sense, at times narrowly and technically referring to a particular halachic status, which particularly with reference to sacral objects, sacral places, mikdash and kodshim, bars a person from consuming them, from entering them, and alternately refers to a general kind of spiritual defilement. And the term is used very often with regard to chet as such. Alternately, if one were to use halachic terminology with reference to tumah yetzia l'gufo, halacha, there are two kinds of tumah, that which emanates from some physical emission in a person's body, man or woman, and that which derives from external source, physical contact. And those who speak of chet in terms of tumah like to speak at times as being tumah yetzia l'gufo, that which emanates from the inner wellsprings of a person's being, and that which is a lesser breed, externally generated and externally stimulated. But be that as it may, the level of detail, the use of the concept to denominate chet is clear. And of course, the psukim are very familiar to us, which speak in this vein. Every day in Slichis, we say, Zalakterechem, Ayim, Torim, Mitartem, Kodimotechem, Kodimotechem, Tereschem, Psukim, Yecheska, which speak of how the Ben Shalom promises that he will shed or cast pure water upon us and purify us, purge us from all the impurities and defilements. We speak in davening every Shabbos and every Mayid, and the passage, of course, speaks with God the Yom Kippur, Yifnei Hashem Titohu. So we have at one plane a kind of medical metaphor, another plane a halachic metaphor to the technical area of Tumah V'Taharah. In broader religious as well as psychological terms, chet, of course, is not necessarily translated into categories of another area, but is dealt with within its own context, primarily regarded as failure. Dual failure, engendering shame at one plane, in relation to both oneself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person feels ashamed of himself, he was not able to withstand temptation, is not able to maintain standards by which he himself lives, a sense of duplicity, conscious or subliminal, pervades him. And he's ashamed not only of himself, he's ashamed to confront the Ribbono Shel Olam, which Chazal speak of in a positive sense. That Abishalim revealed himself to Klal Yisrael as he did at Maimon Har Sinai in order that fear of him should be pervasive, and by way of preventing sin. And how does it prevent sin? So the Gemara says in the Dorim, because where once the encounter has been made, a sense of shame sets in, Zubushet Panim, if a person sins. So there's one plain shame, itself of dual character, and another plane, to take the poll familiar from sociological studies, who like to speak of shame culture as opposed to guilt culture. Of course, the element of guilt, whether moral or religious terms. Fourthly, we often speak of chet, a response to it, in terms drawn from another familiar halachic category, but unlike that of tumah, which is a purely halachic category in its narrower sense, a category which has halachic sanction and is halachic reality, but which at the same time is a universal category. That, of course, is the category of grief, of avelus. Pasuk speaks in terms of avelus. The modern reader might be thrown off somewhat. In modern Hebrew, we use the term yitone by way of complaining. And the complaint can be over a trivia. Things didn't go right just the way you wanted. The eggs that came were a little cold. The soup was not properly pressed. But in the Tanakh, of course, the association of the term yitonein is similar to the halachic term onin zopato avelus. The initial shock just immediately after the death prior to burial, and the sense of grief which is felt at that time, that's to be mit onin. And what the matter says is, what does the pasuk, excuse me, in Echa says, of what does a person have this sense of grief, ma'itonin adam chai, not with regard to God's truth that I mentioned previously, but with regard to his sins. And the Rabbi spoke eloquently of the sequence of aninus and avelus with respect to chet, as in the area of actual avelus that we know it. The two stages, the initial shock that I mentioned previously, and the gradual return to normalcy over a long period of time after the finality of burial. But likewise with regard to Ched, the two stages in response to it. So we have an additional category describing and denoting either the totality or at least one aspect of the experience of Ched, in addition to the medical, the element of tumor, the sense of failure, in addition to this element as well. The Paschal sense is intended to exclude other things. Al-Khatav, with God to his sins, he's committed, but not with God to other things. But meanwhile, it also describes, in a sense, over what a person complains or feels grief-stricken, and Al-Khatav, over his sins, but I think in a multiple sense. Not only his sins as such, but his sins and their consequences. So that the concern, the mitonen gevur al chatav, is in a sense the threefold concern relating to the respective time frames, past, present, future. At one level, that which relates to the phase of tshuva, what does Zeru Shem, it's the initial phase, go to others, the latter phase, a revulsion, from the chet, a revulsion from the chote, a revulsion from oneself. A person asks himself, how could he have done such a thing? And he feels, as I spoke before, being defiled in halachic sense. One feels beyond this a sense of revolted, as a person who hasn't showered for a month might feel with regard to his personal sanitation. A sense of spiritual filth, an almost visceral sense. You have to envision a person sitting in a chair and all of a sudden feeling insects crawling all over him. That kind of revulsion. It's not for naught in Sefer Chassidim. One of the scenarios which he suggests for Tshuvat HaMishkal, if a person is, he has a whole framework, scheme of suggested modes of penitence, punitive in nature and ascetic in character, if a person has sinned. And one of them has to do is sitting in the tub of freezing cold water and looking for a place where you can find many ants that can crawl all over you. I remind of that connection with the wonderful line of Spencer's Fairy Queen, speaks of sin close creeping twixt the marrow and the skin. That's Gevur al Chatav, revolted from the sin, revolted from himself. That's with respect to the past. But the Gevur al Chatav, the level of consequences, that relates to the present and the future as well, but in two different ways. Present. There is, of course, a loss, and not a marginal one. The loss of the most valuable, the most cherished relationship that a person can have, from which henceforth, at least temporarily, he finds himself excluded. And the Rambam, Pagzayin Cheshuvah, discusses the import and the significance and the value and the power and the efficacy of Tshuvah. He contrasts past a person's prior status when he'd been a sinner was the present status. At Mo Emesh, just last night, is Sanui Lifnei HaMakom Meshukatz Muchak B'Toeva. He was hated in front of the Ben Shleilam, distanced, cast out, abominable. And today, look where he is. The next halacha he repeats in the same general vein. Emesh is a muvdam Hashem l'kei Yisrael. Yesterday he was separated, distanced from the Ben Shleim, Shinemar avonotechem, Mevdili mechel v'no kechem. Tzoek v'no na'ane, he exclaims, and he's not answered, not heeded, Shinemar ki tabu tefila edin shomea. For some mitzvot, he performs virtuous deeds, mitzvahs, ואת אופין אותה בפניו, זה throne in his face, שנאמן ביקי זו ביתכם מראש חצירי. What Ram describes over here, of course, is the alienation from the Ben Shleim of a sinner, not necessarily conceived in terms of an explicit punishment in a direct sense, but a kind of natural consequence. Ben Shleim wants to associate, as it were, to affiliate with people who are virtuous, are concerned with values, and not those who are not. So the quite apart from the revulsion with respect to the past, there's this terrible, frightening loss in the present. What could be worse for a person than to be cast out from the face of the Mishnah? To have no contact, to have no access, to be barred at the gate. In the present, he's mitonein, he grieves. No access, no exit, no relish. And with regard to the future, he was full of anxiety. Gevor l'chatav. Anxiety is dual. First, the fear that perhaps the alienation is not a temporary phase. It's not some kind of period of segregation. But perhaps there's been a rupture, not a temporary fracture, but a rupture in the relationship. And he's been cast out permanently. That, of course, greatly aggravates the concern about the alienation. But secondly, and humanly speaking, there's obviously the concern of possible punishment. Retributive punishment for the chet. So the avelis, the ma'itonein, touches various bases. Revulsion with regard to the past, the alienation with respect to the future, to the present, anxiety with regard to the future. Within this context, there's another sense which is part of the experience of Chet. This is a sense of entrapment. Person feels trapped. It's expressed graphically in the Perek in Tehillim, which does not directly relate to the experience of Chet, but which has to do with the sense of one's relationship to the Bnei Shlem in general. A relationship which for a person very often is ambivalent. Part of him wants it desperately, and part of him is afraid. Perek Uflamites, which the Ibn Ezra described as his favorite perek in Tehillim, Maseach David Mizmor, Sub Sukhim to the Mizmer, Ono Elechim Ruchacha, Vana Mipanecha Evrach, from where shall I flee from your spirit, and where from your face can I escape? Imesak Shomaim, if I go heavenward, Shomata, Vatsia Shol Hineka, I want to descend to the netherworld, there you are. Esokan Fishacha, Eshkelabach Ritiam, Yam Shemet Chatachini, Vetachazedi Mincha. There is no fleeing, there is no escape. And why this does not appear in the context of Chet, obviously be greatly exacerbated under those circumstances. And those of us who made it to Shul this morning to your Slichis, the pismen of this morning's Slichis was all about this. When can you flee? Where can you go? The sense of entrapment. So as I've said, on the one hand, a person thirsts and yearns for communication. On the other hand, to the extent that he feels it may not be positive for him, he feels trapped as well. Finally, the experience of Chet, as Rosh Chodesh is conceived, in terms of disintegration. term she used in the psukim is lev nishbo v'nivze, heart which is broken, personality which is dissipated, disintegrated. It's no longer a single unit. It's broken, literally disintegrated. Perek Tehillim, which I wrote before, Perek Nun Aleph, speaks in these terms towards the end, out of a sense of affirmation and hope. Leib ruach nishbara, zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara, leib nishbara v'nitkei Elokim lo tivzeh. The offerings, the sacrifice of the Ben Shleilam, a broken spirit, a heart which is broken and suppressed, and of that one hopes Elokim lo tivzeh. His description of what David Amal feels in the wake of the Parsha of Bathsheba, his is ruach nishbara, leib nishbara v'nitkei. And we, within the context of Ron Chatoim, speak in the same vein. Slich of Adon Kefokdoch, Adon Pnei Beitzvon Ruach, Tzvei B'Shivron Leiv, excuse me, the other way around. Tzvei B'Shivron Leiv, Pnei Beitzvon Ruach. And that too becomes an additional element. This is a component of chet and response to it. So in sum, if we survey the world of chet and therefore the world of tshuva, there are many strands and many strains running through it. Many modes of sensibility, many areas of experience, many responses. But, coming back to the original point, we seem to sense that the element of joy is certainly absent. Leib nishbar v'nitke, person is mitonein, sense of being ill, concern, anxiety, past, present, future, all of that is part of the scenario. But we don't encounter joy, and probably we don't expect to encounter it. And yet, I submit that we ask ourselves, and I think we ought to ask ourselves, is this world of tshuva response to chet? One of the major spiritual axes of the world of Avedis Hashem. Our confrontation with chet and with the radical and excruciating quest for redemption, for redemptive tshuva. Is this indeed wholly morose, totally depressed and depressing? Nothing to provide encouragement, nothing to uplift, nothing to ennoble. Does the sun ever pierce the clouds of guilt-induced crisis? Can't so central an aspect of a human and Jewish experience be wholly given over, as it were, to be the province of the children of darkness? Speaking for myself, My tutor response is, Chas v'sholom. Impossible. Nothing but depression and depression and depression. And possibly to some extent, within the ambient context of Yom Kippur, which we're anticipating, there is some supportive evidence to suggest that somehow, at some point, the sun breaks through and there is light again. Shulchan Aruch, the Pesach is, the Metzeh Yom Kippur, one should eat a semi-festive meal, but it's a bit of a Yom Tov. Sources quoted by later Paiskim, part of the Medrash, Lechecho al Pasim Kehelos, Lechecho b'simcha lachmecho, v'shtei b'dei v'to v'yinecha, k'v'chatzer l'kim et ma'asecha. When is that? That's after Yom Kippur. And therefore you can eat and drink, not quite be merry, but be festive. This in Shabbos, to which the Goy refers, Samo Teslo speaks in the same vein, quotes a piyut of how after Yom Kippur, Evdi Hashem, by the spirit of Ditzui and Ritzui, have found grace, have found joy. And if I could speak for a moment of my own interactive experience with Rav Zichron Livracha, if anybody wanted a favor, anything you needed from him, the best time to speak to him was Motzei Yom Kippur. Best mood of the year. So, apparently the confrontation with Chet wasn't wholly morose, wholly depressing. But that, of course, who comes to be battle, that's Motzei Yom Kippur. That's not the time of the mitzvah of Tshuva. That's not the occasion of Chet. That's after Chet has been dismissed and abolished. And we've enjoyed the grace of the Ben Shleilam, Yifnashem Titohu, having responded to it in our own attempt, through our own attempt to attain purgation, purification, and being the beneficiaries of His grace, His purifying us. So that doesn't count. So we say, well, no, but there is some expression of this as well, in context, which is not Yom Tzei Yom Kippur, but Bitzuma Shoyim. Seder Avoda, according from Amitz Koach, towards the end, after the count, the scriptive account, Seder Avoda has been fully presented, and we begin with its aftermath, between the section which completes description and that which begins the lament over the fact that Merov Avoneinu, we no longer enjoy any of this. There is a passage which describes the response of Klal Yisrael to the completion of the Avoda. And stone is very, very gratifying. Betoar uvenikayon yinaku Karim, רון בפימו שיר חדש, יגילו ורע יבוא בירה, קדוש ישראל מקדש קדושים, לשנן, לרנן, לתופף ולצרצל, לנצר בגילות ולענים שמזמר, לחבקים באוז ימין רוממה, יחד נדמחים במליאת צדק, בשלוחים לבוא שפתה שערה ברדלנה, וססום ושמחה ישיגו נצח, ססים גלים לשמו כל היום, חדים בשמחה את פניו. זיו אורם כשחר יבקע, כולם יישאו וירונו בגאון צור עולמים, אשרי העם שככה לא, אשרי העם שהשם אלוקיו. Description of the joy, and here it's not just the inner joy, which I spoke of in my opening remarks, but festive, almost raucous celebration, song, dance, use of instruments, and the attainment, the achievement, this is still the middle of Yom Kippur, of eternal sosa v'simcha. So here b'itzuma shel yom, before the day is yet in mechaper, for the plethora of sins, Yerushalmi at the Sefer said that the kapara, which is not that of the korbanos, but the kapara of the day itself, b'itzuma shel yom, this takes place at the moment of shkia. So they don't have that kapar yet, and still, sosev simcha yasigu netzach. But if we're looking for some sense of joy within the process of tshuva, this too is small consolation. Our concern, if we're looking for joy with reference to tshuva, it's not so much with the result. Of course, if we attain Bechil Sira v'Kapara, we're happy. Who wouldn't be happy? The debts are remitted. All outstanding accounts are abrogated. You are reinstated in the sense of the presence of the Ben Shalom. Of course there's joy. It would be strange and odd if there weren't none. The question I'm trying to deal with, rather, however, is not how we respond to the conclusion, the denouement, but rather how we relate to the process. Is the process one which is wholly charged with the sense of sin, attaining proportions almost with what the Calvinistic world describes as religious melancholia, the kind of semi-clinical phenomenon described in books such as James Variety's Religious Experience? Is that what our tshuva is all about? Or is it some saving grace, some element of joy, inherent and licit, and perhaps beyond being illicit, demanded, despite the pervasive anxiety and the sense of tension? So with regard to this, the Medrash of Tzeit Kippur will help us a little, the Payet concerning the Ron, the Matzeach, the singing and the dancing in the streets of Yerushalayim, provides small solace. And we come back to that question, is it indeed possible that with regard to this phenomenon, Pasuk in Shayo is apt, Ki Achoshech Yichase Eretz Ve'Ofel Leumim, blanketed, we are covered, we are enveloped by darkness, by night. Here again, my own personal intuitive answer is an emphatic no. It is not conceivable, it is not possible and it is not true. But of course, I can't say this ex cathedra. I need to elucidate and elaborate to what I refer on the basis of what I mentioned when I said.
Notion
The notion that some element of simcha can be conceived within the context of chet and tshuva, within the process of coping with it and confronting it, is one which has at lower level a halachic ramification. The Gaonim, the Rosh Kodesh today with the Goyim, have a Nuschat Tefillah, which we have today abandoned. Davening Shemoneh Esrei, we start with Atav Chatanu, our Shoni Yom Kippur, as we do on Dragolim. But then the second part begins, Atit Lo Hashem Elokeinu Vadim Tzivos V'Chagim Dragolim, Atit Lo Hashem Elokeinu Vadim L'Simcha Chagim Zoyim L'Sasot. Yes. Yom Chag HaMatzot, Chag Shavuot, Chag Sukkot, etc. Hashem in Yom Kippur, we said earlier this week, we'll say next week, Batidlon Hashem Elokeinu, Et Yom HaZikaron, Et Yom Kippurim HaZeh. With no reference to the fact that it's part of a complex of Moedim L'Simcha Yisrael M'Sasot. The Rosh quotes Goyim, who did have this Nusach. And presumably the question is as to whether in some form it's addressed one plane in Rosh Hashanah, another plane in Yom Kippur, some form simcha as not only as a devatum, but as a conscious aim, as it were, of the Yom Tov is part of its reality. The omission of the phrase in our text would seem to suggest that perhaps not. But this might not necessarily be the case. The Rav Zichron Livracha was of the opinion that this issue, whether the Simcha or Shoni Yom Kippur, was the subject of Machlokes HaTanoim with regard to a remission of Ma'id Katan. Loch is that if a person begins sitting Shiva before Yom Tov, even if the Yom Tov comes in the midst of Shiva, so the Yom Tov abrogates the Shiva. Irrespective of how many days he's already sat, we pass against our shoulder, if he's only sat a single hour, Avelis is gone. Unlike Shabbos, where the day itself, or very lesser form, Avelis Dosha B'tzina is Naig, we're not doing Shufahesia. What about the Roshonim Yom Kippur? Simchosim Stanoim. We passed in the Roshonim Yom Kippur also abrogate Yom Avelis. The Rabbi Zchelvach assumed that this could only be if Simcha were part of the character of the day, and therefore, in experiential terms, in spiritual terms, a day could not be both a day of Avelis and a day of Simcha. So consequently, since we paskin that the day is abrogated, the Havelis is abrogated, apparently we think that Simcha is Ner HaShonim Yom Kippur. Shavisalia does not refer, has a shuvah which deals with this issue as well. He approached it from a different perspective. He thought that what's matter, Melech HaSichot Nefesh Shal Yom Tov is the mitzvah of Simcha, and since Sichot Nefesh is the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, obviously the mitzvah of Simcha applies to Rosh Hashanah. That leads him to keep out in the cold, but he deals with Rosh Hashanah. If one accepts the Rav's approach, presumably the question is to why then we omit the reference or the phrase, "Ma'adim Simchayim Zomim Sason and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur," if the mitzvah of Simcha is Nayig. That question arises. I don't recall at the moment whether the Rav related to it and how he did, but I don't think we need to be too deeply concerned about it. There are two issues here. One is the purpose, as it were, of the day, the character of the day. The other has to do whether a particular mitzvah is noyeg. The question of Avelis is a question whether it's Simchot Yad Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The question of the formulation of Yavin Tefillah is to what end the day was given. Was it given for the realization, implementation of Sosra Simcha? Was it given for other purposes? But having been given for other purposes, being defined as a Yom Tov, so Mitzvah Simcha is Nayig. But in any event, the issue of Simcha on Shonim Yom Kippur as such comes up. If it comes up these days, notwithstanding the fact that Chazal stressed the awesome moment, the sense of anxiety, we don't say Halal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, because Sifrei Chayim Yisrael Mitim Petuchim Lefarat Yom Rim Shira Halil. How can it be when all the books have opened and each person is being judged and adjudged? Is it possible one is going to say Halil? But nonetheless, the possibility that given the overwhelming earnestness of the day and the concern of the anxiety, nonetheless, the element of Simcha can exist is there. That's with regard to the Moed. And since these are days, which inter alia days of Tshuva, both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is already part of ourselves in Tshuva, part of the Rosh Hashanah. So, we might assume that the element of Simcha could be part of the kiyum of a day which is pervaded by tshuva, devoted, committed to tshuva. To put it differently, the possibility that an element of tshuva should relate to Simcha, of Simcha should relate to tshuva, cannot be foreclosed. To my mind, not only does it not need to be foreclosed, I don't think it can be foreclosed. And this I say with three distinct elements. The Rambam after his account of Simchas Beis HaSheva, the great festivity which characterized it, concludes this particular section of Halachas with a more general statement about Simcha with regard to Avedis Hashem. HaSimcha sheyismach adam b'asiyat ha-mitzvah u b'ahavat ha-kel she-tzivah b'hen עבודה גדולה היא. וכל המונה עצמו משמחה זו ראו לי פרה ממנו, שנאמר תחת אשר הובלת השם מלכך בשמחה וטוב לבב מרוב כל. I'm skipping somewhere the rest of the halacha. It then concludes, "Vein ha-gedula v'ha-kavod lismoach lifnei Hashem, shenema v'ha-melech David v'fazed v'chakeh lifnei Hashem." The joy which a person rejoices in the performance of a mitzvah, the love of the Ben Shem commandment with regard to them, that itself coexistent, concomitant with the ma'aseh mitzvah, is itself a great avodah, a great mode, a great expression of service of Ben Shleil. And so then he says, greatness and honor, that is not through all the kind of external modes of COVID, but that's to rejoice in front of the Ben Shleilam. And he quotes Pasuk with God, David HaMelech, and the encounter with Michal, which is described in Tanakh. Proof text which the Rambam has that a person who avoids himself, who averts himself, I should say, and avoids the element of simcha, is a pasuk in the Teichacha. But a pasuk which the Rambam gave a very different interpretation of that which we normally assume. The Teichacha in Kisavai, there gives a long list of imprecations and all kinds of klolos, all kinds of frightful and terrible things are going to occur if A, B, C, D materialize. And then there's a pasuk which explains the reason for this. Tachat asher hovalat Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv leiva b'rov kol. This will be a retribution for the fact that you didn't worship the Ben Shleilam in joy and plenitude, and good heartedness, and plenitude. Now, this is normally taken to mean that when things were going well, the stock market was high, and your business was doing fine, then you didn't worry about the Ben Shleilam. The Ben Shleilam returned in times of crisis. When there's no crisis, we'll read in this week's Parsha, Yish Ben Shur Megivot. So inasmuch as you didn't worship the Ben Shleilam when you were in a state of prosperity, joy, now you'll be forced to suffer and be forced to turn to him under conditions of deprivation and desperation. And what that means, of course, is that under those certain prospects in service of prosperity, Vayivat, you kicked over the traces, you revolted altogether. Rabbi Bechaya, in his commentary on the one who succeeded on, his commentary on the Torah, explains the pasuk differently, and the source of presumably this Rambam. Rambam explains not that you didn't worship the Ben Shleilam when you were prosperous. You worshipped him, but it was lackluster. There was no joy. It was routine, it was mechanical, it was technical. There was no simcha. And this interpretation, novel as it is, in certain respects, challenging as it is, the Rambam bases a statement here that the simcha, which is to accompany the mitzvah, that is an avodah in itself. Sosim Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar has a commentary on the Torah, which he follows essentially the Rambam's pshat. He has a small, semi-encyclopedia, called Kata Kemach, which deals with certain topics, which collects midrashim, and in this discussion of simcha, he says no more, no less, that the simcha which accompanies a mitzvah is more significant than the mitzvah itself. At first, the particular kind of simcha, of course, not the simcha which is engendered by non-mitzvah considerations, but it's a radical statement, a very non-Briskian statement nonetheless. But as a reflection, even after one dilutes and cuts it down to size, reflection of the place which Simcha occupied, not only in the Ma'aser Rabbeinu Bechaya, but first and foremost the mind of the Rambam, and the same Rambam which Maskilim like to think of as being a Greek rationalist. But now let us ask ourselves, if indeed Avoda must be done with Simcha, and Mitzvah perform with Simcha, presumably that applies to Mitzvah such as Tshuva as well? What exactly the Mitzvah of Tshuva is within the context of the Rambam is as well known a subject of debate. Is it the Tshuva? Is it the Vidu which comes at the apex of the Tshuva? But certainly, however one defines it in technical terms, Tshuva is the central aspect of the world of Avodas Hashem. However we define in narrow technical terms the Mitzvah of Tshuva. The Parashas and the Torah speak in this vein, the Vim speak in this vein, Chazal speak in this vein. There's no way and no need to look for a way to keep Tshuva out of the ballpark of Avodah. But then we ask ourselves very simply, if Avodah should be done with Simcha, and if Tshuva is part of Avodah, presumably in purely syllogistic terms, we should arrive at the conclusion that Tshuva needs to be suffused with Simcha as well. I go a step further. The term Avodah in Chumash appears in different senses. At least it's Chazal understood. At times it refers to the totality of the world as we speak of Avodas Hashem, which we mean the whole world of our relationship with Ribono Shel Olam, our observance of mitzvahs, our relating to Him in existential terms, our submission to Him. It's all part of Avodah. And presumably the Pesukim which speak in that vein. Take for instance the Pasuk Mishpatim, ועבדתם את השם אלוקיכם, וברך את לחמך ואת מימך, והסירותי מחלה מקרבך. You'll serve the Ben Shlalem, and he will bless your food and your drink, and will extract, remove illness from you. That presumably refers not to any particular avodah that takes a mitzvah, but to the whole range. Another context, Chazal took pains to establish a separate category of mitzvahs which to define as avodah in a more specific sense than others. Pasuk in Krishme, Lavdo b'chol levavchem, so the Sifri asks, to what does that refer? Does it refer to avodah mamash? To service, to worship, literally, meaning avodah sekabonis and mikdash? No, it couldn't refer to that because that everybody's been dealt with in other psukim. Elo, the two answers given in Sifri, one is Lavdo Zutfilah, the other is Lavdo Zet Talmud. Talmud Torah and Tfilah. So the three mitzvahs have been singled out within the context of that Sifri to be Avoda in a sense which goes beyond the sense in which every mitzvah is Avoda. I've often asked myself, How exclusive is this club? My inclination, I can't say that I have textual support for it. My inclination is to assume that the mitzvah of tshuva belongs there as well. If I ask myself, what is the defining characteristic? What's the entry card into this exclusive group? I think that what's involved are mitzvahs, which are not just a particular performance, negative or positive, but mitzvahs which entail the totality of one's relationship with the B'nai Shleilam, particularly the meeting with Shekhinah, and the element of submission and subordination and servitude which relates to that. This is what tefillah is all about. And Chazal's world, the third of Talmud Torah, as being a vivifying and pervasive experience as well. Filu echad sheyesh lev esek b'Torah, shechina imo shiram yesh b'adav yido. It's difficult for me to see if these are the general criteria, how tshuva, which involves not only the extent and the depth and the intensity of one's relationship with B'nai Shleilam, which involves the very existence of the relationship. Shuvah elai v'shuvah aleichem, shuvah yisrael Hashem elokecha, you've distanced yourself. And that could be avoided in a lesser sense. And if this is correct, then I say to myself, if Simcha is essential, significant for avoda in general, for every mitzvah which is avoda, in the comprehensive sense of pasuk mishpatim, achas kama v'chama. If we deal with a mitzvah which is specifically and more uniquely, not quite uniquely, but more singularly, part of a group of mitzvahs which are more intensely avoda, achas kama v'chama, the element of simcha should be there. And as Simcha needs to accompany Tefillah, Simcha needs to accompany Talmud Torah, Ha'arevna, likewise with regard to Tshuva. But I ask myself, of course, how is this possible? And what is the nature of the element of tribulation to tshuva? And if I come to the third dimension, I said before that I'm inclined to assume that there was some relation between joy and tshuva from three different perspectives. That which has to do with the nature of avodah in general, that which has to do with the specifically avodah character of tshuva, but beyond that, and leaving aside for the moment, the syllogism of avodah requires Simcha, tshuva is avodah, therefore tshuva requires simcha. I think it is endemic and inherent within the experience of tshuva itself. And I repeat, I'm speaking not only of the denouement, of the result, I speak of the process. I grant that in certain respects, the process already may contain the seeds of the denouement. In the process of tshuva, one may already be thinking how he's going to reap the fruits. But if we could, for the moment, psychologically and spiritually, halachically, normatively isolate the process of the denouement and ask ourselves the experience itself, leaving aside what the benefits and what the dividends will be tomorrow. Does joy belong there or not? Psukim Tilim two psukim. Spiegel simlika to the Tzvivet. Second parak continues the post Yibdus Hashem B'Yira. The 100th parak continues, we said every day, Yibdus Hashem B'Simcha. The Medrash Parakuf Ben Shtilim raises the question and suggests two answers. כתוב אחד אומר יבלו את השם בשמחה. כתוב אחד אומר יבלו את השם בהירה. So I'll be the second answer first. דבר אחר, יבלו את השם בהירה, בשמחה, יכול שלא בהירה, תמול, בהירה, can't be without הירה. Can't have only a word of שמחה, just rollicking good fun. אז בהירה. So the answer which is given ברבי אחי, אמר רבי אחי, בעולם הזה בהירה ולעתיד לבוא, זה נלבי בשמחה. This makes it work quite logical, periodological distinction between this world and the next. That's not to our present purpose. First answer is very much to our present purpose. אמר רבי אבו, how do I resolve this seeming contradiction? B'sha'a sh'ata omed u'mitpalel yehi libcha sameach ki l'olakim elyon ata oved. B'sha'a sh'ata omed u'mitpalel yehi libcha sameach ki l'olakim elyon ata oved. The Rebbe distinguishes here between two components of the experience of tefillah. One which has to do with its actual content, the ma'isa mitzvah, positing yourself for the Ben Shalom, addressing him, praising, thanking, petitioning, imploring, begging. That's the Obeidu Mitpalel. And perhaps your thoughts are given to what you say. Maybe they should be given to what you say. But at the same time, there's not only the content, but the context. And the context is that of your standing before the Ben Shalom and addressing him, exchanging with him in dialogue, encountering, confronting, praising and pleading. And all of this is you. Little you. Before Melech Malchei HaMelechim. So where is the Simcha? Where is the Yire? The Tefillah itself is Yire. Sense of awe. Ram says the person should vision himself as he was standing in heaven. And many halachos which relate to that, the Rav spoke so fully, so richly, on so many occasions, based on the Rashi and the Ramban, Oymid Lifnei HaMelech, stand before the royal emperor, Melech Malchei HaMelechim. And that, of course, is Yireh. But how do you relate to the fact that you are an Oymid for the Melech HaMelechim? Leaving aside what you're going to tell him. Were you to reflect, and perhaps you should reflect, at some level, upon the encounter as such, that you're there, and you're being heard, and you're addressing. That is the source of infinite joy. So the tefillah itself is pervaded with earnestness, seriousness as befitting the moment and befitting the station. But the context conceived, if I understand Rabbi correctly, not just the kind of infrastructure, but as part of what a person perceives and feels, not just an objective observer, look, what a wonderful thing it is. Sheikh Bati Chaimer speaks to the Ben Shleila. But the Sheikh Bati Chaimer himself is worried about Ofeiru, afraid about Panasa. No. The Sheikh Bati Chaimer, the petitioner, the person standing for the Ben Shleila, he at one and the same time is able to mispalel with all the gravity, the earnestness, the seriousness that entails, and libo is sameach. And his heart rejoices. And of what does he rejoice? I think he rejoices over two things. Number one, over the opportunity afforded him to be ushered into the presence of the word of Ben Shleilam. Secondly, over the fact that he was able to become this mitzvah. But that he has the capacity, the ability, that has been created as a spiritual being who has talents and abilities which the rest of the created world doesn't have. A person whose life can be given over not simply to bovine hedonistic experience and not simply to Devarim B'Tehillim, but the capacity for Avedas Hashem. Now this is true of tefillah, Elipcha Sameach. I think it is equally, I might say doubly true, of the mitzvah of tshuva. I do not submit for a moment that a person should be happy that he was a sinner and now he's able to come to Ben Shalom to be chesed b'tshuva. We've known of such antinomian schools of thought, the 18th century and elsewhere, the Mitzvah Abba Ba'avere, in Sholem's sense. That's totally outside our ballpark. But if a person indeed has lapsed, and he has the experience, the ability to be Eisik B'tshuva, and the Chiv to be Eisik B'tshuva, and the gates are there, and you are the kind of person, the kind of being that has this talent. And if you know that so much hinges in the balance, you know that Rambam Emesh was this way, Sodom Meshukas was moved to Teva, and today is over, etc., etc. So it's not only that you have the sense of the ability to be enthralled, as you would in tefillah, be in the presence of Ben Shleilam. That too is the greatest bliss that a person can have. The greatest tragedy is to be bereft of contact, and the greatest joy to have the contact. But not only that, it's contact which affords relationship, which by definition overcomes alienation. And leaving aside for the moment the fruits, the dividends will come next week. But meanwhile, you're there. You're not meruchak, you're not mishukas, you're not teiva. The very greatest source of joy, you're engaged in, you're aimed in chesed v'tshuva, with all the earnestness and the sense of despondency and grief, and disease and failure, everything that's out like I shall listed before. But despite that whole catalog, there you are. If you take yourself by the hands, chovush, matratz v'beit asurim, and it's up to you. Imagine for a moment there were no tshuva. And you came to a person and said, you know, there's a thing called tshuva somewhere. It doesn't exist in this country. And that's where you and I live. But there's a way of getting to it. B'shamayim ever layom. What would you give for it? He'll give everything he has, his very soul, his very being, an inverted Faustian engagement to get tshuva, to get access. Person goes looking for money, he wants to go find a gevir. What is the first thing he needs? Most important thing is to get an appointment. And he has an appointment with a ben shleil. Yalipcha sameach, and it was Rabbi Ivu, kilakim al yonato yivit. Now that simcha for us is at two levels. Because tshuva is at two levels. Reveling in the sense of being able to chesed v'tshuva and expressing shevach v'doyot ben shleilam that he's given us this opportunity. We don't do that on a daily basis. Daily basis, we have a bracha and tshuva, but what is the bracha? We take tshuva for granted. Now we ask the ben shleilam, present tshuva shem lefanecha, accept us, stimulate us, encourage us. But what about thanking the ben shleilam for the very fact, expressing appreciation for the fact that there is such a thing as tshuva? So that we have in tefillah of ne'ilah. Really, it appears at two levels. I got this very question of the uniqueness of the spiritual reality, of spiritual existence at the human plane as opposed to the animal. And it's close to the concluding passage of Nila. We first express in terms, we're mindful of the nihilism, the nihilistic chapters of Kohelis. And then we do an about face. I've heard about this Yishan Loch extensively. Having equated man and the animal, we then took the Dibur on to differentiate. But first we differentiate in universal terms. Ati v'dalta eno shmirosh. Because tshuva is a universal category. And we know from the parsha of Ninveh. Chazal speak of tshuva and marishin. And ati v'dalta eno shmirosh, you granted him power l'amid l'fanecha. You gave him a permanent appointment. That's the first phase. Now that permanent appointment itself is dual. But the kir lamed lefanecha, we don't speak yet of tshuva. You acknowledge him to enter into your presence, to be ushered in, as it were. But the whole context of the passage, of course, was shvitz the tshuva. Begins at the Nodiyala Poshim Choshuta Kabashovim. And even you give him Midas Rachmim, where we speak of Bris and Gimel Midas, Mabesh Tav Chachomim, Point is made, Oset Tzedakah is in Kol Basar V'Ruach. Even there, the universal element comes in. So at one plane, simply as Enosh, as part of the human race, take note of the fact, that express appreciation for the fact that Ben Shalom has singled us out. But then we move, of course, to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is very predominantly universal. Yom Kippur is much more national, ethnic in character, so to speak. And then we speak of the particular chesed with regard to tshuva, and the ability which we've been given. And all of this is in contrast to the world of Behemoth, to be chesed b'tshuva. So of course there's simcha. La'amid l'fanecha is the source of simcha. And even if you have amid l'fanecha excruciating spiritual pain, and anguish and anxiety, and perhaps wishing at some point the equivalent of a death wish, halavai you could get away, halavai you weren't a Jew, halavai you weren't burdened. But that's parakuf labetes and tilim. That's a mirage, that's a delusion. And of course, not what you ought to be wishing. That's what the Yetzirah wishes. But David Hashem in you doesn't wish that at all. The pain in spiritual, psychological terms can be terrifying. And the terror is real. But nonetheless, Yad Alev, you ask yourself, to be an animal would be better. In particular, with regard to Klal Yisrael, Ashrechem Yisrael, for the Mi'at Mitarvim Tayreschem, Avichem Shebashamay. So, not only in terms of anticipating what the benefits are going to be, but the very experience, the very process of tshuva, entailing as it does a relationship to Ben Shleilam, not only in moral terms, the ability to cleanse oneself, to purify oneself, but in religious terms, the ability to reconnect and to reestablish, to rebuild bridges which have been destroyed or been impaired. There's much for which to be thankful, much of which to rejoice, even as we fully comprehend that the source of the joy is in certain respects the source of the pain, the source of the responsibility, the source of the anxiety, the source of the tension. So we don't deny the grief. Grief is there, it should be there. We don't deny the sense of failure. We don't deny the sense of malady. We don't deny the sense of disintegration. And yet, we're joyous, deeply and profoundly appreciative of the ability to stand for the Ben Shleilam, and particularly to stand in the posture and the process of tshuva. If we ask ourselves, can we in some way try to define for ourselves what the relationship, the interactive relationship may be between what I've described as the content and the context respectively, the content or the aspect, the facet of simcha, and the facet of called dysfunction in one form or another. I think there are no different models, and I'll try to summarize them briefly. I presume you won't be surprised if I tell you that I'm not the first person who thought of this topic. If I were, it probably wouldn't be worth discussing. I want to refer briefly to several sources. But Atanya relates to this issue in two different places. Probably more, but my borishness is on those of two. In the Kuti Amorim, the central text of the Tanya, he writes, "V'nei b'chol pratei minei simchot hanefesh hanal, ein mehen mni'a liyot divze b'einav nimas, v'leiv nishba v'ruach nemucha b'shad ha'simcha mamash. מאחר כי אותו נבזה בעיניו וכולי, מצד הגוף ונפש הבהמית, ואותו בשמחה ומצד נפש האלוקית, ולצעוד הלקות המלווה שלו להרווחה כנר. חי גב ליטה בזוהר, בכי תקיע בליבוי בסתרדו, וחדווה תקיע בליבוי בסתרדו." So the kind of humility and self-effacement, which he's been advocating at that part previously, is not inconsistent with a sense of joy, and the two can be together. How do these two coexist? The self-effacement, even at the moment of simcha proper, because this, they relate to two different elements. And he speaks even in terms of a sort of bifurcation of the human personality, conjoined of matter and spirit, the animal and the human, spiritual. So the sense of self-effacement that relates to the animal part of him. So as far as that's concerned, that is indeed the lowest of the low, and there's no reason to avoid to be self-effacing there. However, the joy, the celebratory element, that's with regard to the spiritual, the divine spark that is in him. And he quotes the Zohar that two elements coexist within the heart. On one hand, weeping and moaning and groaning, on the other hand, joy. In the Gelas HaTshuva, towards the end, he expands upon that a bit. Yeah, he refers you to the Zohar as well, but I think that here he cheats a little bit. What he's written in the Likutei Amorim, in the body of the Tanya, is that there are two aspects of human personality, and one is the animal, one is the divine spark in him. One, he rejoices and he celebrates its power and strength, and the other, he denigrates. Here he refers to that passage in the Zohar, but then he continues. In addition to the point of the Zohar, "B'tzeruf od emunah v'bitachon liot nechon libo b'tuach b'Hashem, yachfeitz chesed hu v'chanu v'rachum rav lisloach tekef u'miyad v'kesh p'chal v'slicha mito yitborach, bli shum safek u'sfek sfek ba'olam." Then he goes on to explain all this. And therefore, a person can be much readier to have the penitence and the penitential grief and the joy coexist. What do I say that he cheats? Chas v'shalom. Tzadik yisrael elam. But there's a disparity between the note which is struck in Perek Lamed Daled in the Likutei Amorim, and the note which is struck here first, and the continuation. As I said before, from my point of view, my perspective, my concern here is with the experience, the process of tshuva as such, with a focus upon the benefits which it confers, the enormous privilege, prerogative which it gives us, not because we're going to clip dividends next week. But this proper, the ability to be engaged in tshuva, to confront the Ben Shalom as such, to be established a relationship. I take this what the Zohar means, a But it says one weeps in the one end, weeps for his sins, weeps for his failures, weeps for his tragedies, if it refers to tshuva. At the same time, there is joy that here I am as a spiritual being with the capacity and the talent to do this rather than to fret. The point which he makes subsequently, the certainty and the faith, the conviction that a person is certain since the Rabbi Sloach, and therefore he can at the same time cry, at the same time rejoice. This doesn't divide the human personality in two slices. It's a temporal division. Today we cry, but we don't cry too much because we know tomorrow we're going to dance. That, I think, takes the cutting edge off the whole message of the Zohar. Something of the same, not quite in this sequential vein, but in this general spirit, I think it sends also the passage of Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik in the passage, this seems Kuf Chof Tez and Sidkus HaTzadik, says that if a person is despaired and despondent, and it's questions, Chazal say, Abodi Tayyab and Sayyidah, if a person wants to initiate purgation, he'll get divine assistance. And then he begins to question, is he deserving? Will he have it? Won't he have it? So he says, Vayitzan Negdo, against this kind of inner doubt, he has Simcha v'Ptichut Balev, Shemvada Hashem Yitbarach B'rov Rachamah V'chasadah V'kablo B'shuvah Shlema Lefanav, בתוכו רצוף המריאות הגדול על חטאו, שזה ממש דוגמת תקיעה שברים תרועה, תקיעה, שעושים בראש השנה כידוע. התקיעות הן שמחה, תרועה הן גנוך הגון אבילו יליל, etc. ולכך נאמר מזמור לדוד בבואי לנותן הנביא, כשומר בת שבע, שיהיה פשוטה שיפונה בשמחה וזמרה, בטוח שהשם דבר יעננו. וגם כי באמת בתשובה שלימה, אז מסיק תגב בשעית אחות, דבר גיחות אור וגילוי, וזו השמחה של האחר. וזה דבר as follows. The way to relate to this is to conjoin two elements. On the one hand, the experience of tshuva and the shiva lev which goes with that. On the other hand, the conviction and the certainty that he will be answered, Mishum will be accommodating and understanding and forgiving. He doesn't describe this as being two successive stages sequentially, chronologically, but it's two facets, but with an eye, I say again, with an eye to the denouement, to the benefits subsequent to the experience, both the experience itself. Although he speaks in two voices, and I think there's something my message is in here too. What he says is that person who's coming to occasion tshuva, so he has despondency and sense of tragedy, terrible thing, chet, chet. But this is complemented or rather counterbalanced, contrapuntally, by the certainty, the conviction, and the joy that the Ben Shleim will accept the Mishu Shleim in front of. And then what you have, he says, is a kind of external framework, sort of a shell, which is the positive relationship with the Ben Shleim, and the inner core of the experience, its specific focus, is the very bitter pill of a sin. He presents and suggests an interesting analogy here. He says, we got that Tchiyah Shofar. So, loch is the Shiva Pshut al Fune, Pshut al Acher. Simple, flat color, we call Tchiyot. And the inner part, the meat of the sandwich, is a coral which suggests concern, anxiety, tragedy, etc. He says, there you have a framework, and you have the essence within that framework. He says, in true also you have this. And here apparently takes it, although into tkiyus, this is sequential. Lefaneo acher. But conceptually, I think it takes, it's not sequential. Conceptually, it's a sandwich. And here the sandwich is, the pshuta is the flat koilis of joy, of celebration. Ola kim b'tu Hashem b'kol shofar, havayis b'kol shofar. And then the inner core is the trua, that's the sense of chet. And that sandwich together is what that a person partakes, that he experiences. And that's the nature of tshuva and its interaction with joy. He adds one element, partly by way of referring back to the Perek in Tehillim. He had an interesting question. Mizmer l'dovid b'el of Nosan Anovi. The term mizmer usually suggests something of zemer, of joy of singing. Chazal, a famous medra, she mizmer ha'in tes, she mizmer l'osof, kim bo'gim l'nachal osecha. The medra she had, mizmer l'osof, kim bo'gim l'nachal osecha, kina l'nosof mi bo'ele. And explains what it explains. So you two, what's the mizmer l'dovid? The great Simcha, Nosan Anovi came to him. What did he tell him? Guta is geshegitzt. So what's the Simcha? So he said, but that's the Pshuta Lefaneo. Eis geshegitzt was that's the middle part. And where is the Pshuta Lachreo? So here he comes to in the direction that I was suggesting. Pshuta Lachreo is באמת בתשובה שלי, ואז מסיק תקה בשייט אחד, בואים כי אחד ברגע אחד, הוער והגילוי. The light and the revelation piercing through the clouds, that is coterminous, coincident, with the tshuva. It's simultaneous. That's the pshuto l'achreo. He doesn't quite speak in the vein that I mentioned previously of in terms of the Medrash, the differentiation between experience and its infrastructure and its context, but I think it's in the same general vein, unlike what I said in Balatanya, which is more, to my taste, more mechanical, more divisive. What is the message which I think we are left and should be left? Come back to Perek in Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph. Spoke previously of disintegration, Shiva and Levav, as being an aspect, or it might be viewed from a certain perspective, of someone looking for an easy spiritual life, or the problematic character of tshuva. Of course, the other life doesn't present it as such. It's part of the glory of tshuva. Zifre Elokim Ruach Nishbara Lev Nishbara Venitki Elokim Lotifse. And we have psukim which speak in this vein of the relationship to Shvurei Lev. We say it every morning in Pesukei Dezimre. Person, Hashem heals the brokenhearted and ministers to their nervous needs. Another pasuk. Ben Shalem is close to those who are brokenhearted, and those who are depressed or oppressed in spirit, he will redeem. That's part of the message of Perek Nun Aleph, of Shivun Lev. And it's a message which can be taken, should be taken, independently of the benefits to be reaped or the dividends to be gathered. And yet, that kind of level of idealism is beyond what presumably we are expected to attain. The Perek itself speaks of future benefits nonetheless. Not as a condition, not that otherwise it's not worth it, but the hope and the faith is there. Tashmeini sasova simcha togel natsamot dikita. You will make me hear joy and gladness and joy. And bones which you had oppressed and depressed will rejoice. Hashiva lisesoni shecha v'achdiva tismecheini. Return to me the gladness of your salvation, and a generous spirit will support me. So on the one hand, we find the simcha in today's experience, in today's tshuva. Irrespective, as it were, of the benefits which should be conferred as a result of it. The very fact that you can be an omi in the words of the Medrash Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no greater benefit than that. C.S. Lewis once wrote that the message he had learned from the British idealists, 19th century philosophic school in England, was briefly stated that it's more important that heaven should exist than that we should ever get there. Amending that slightly, it is from an ultimate spiritual point of view more important that we have the experience of tshuva and then reap its benefits. We hope and pray, and I don't pretend that I don't, for the benefits. We want to reap the fruits. And having done what we consider to be our share, we hope the Baruch Shem Kivyachol do his. But we strive and aim for attaining a level of Avodas Hashem, self-sacrifice, in which we can understand not only with regard to the world as such, in Lewis's message, but with regard to ourselves, it is more important that the world of tshuva, the spirit of tshuva exists, and the simcha which goes with recognizing and acknowledging that fact, and that we should ever get there to reap the benefits. But why do I need to look to C.S. Lewis and the 19th century philosophers? It's a Mishneh Noves. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Yafa Sha'achat Mitshuva Ma'asim Tovim Ba'alam Hazeh Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. Yafa Sha'achat Turat Ruach Ba'alam Haba Mikol Chayei Olam Hazeh. Two levels, two modes, two aspects of existence and experience are contrasted and confronted. In metaphysical terms, the experience of the Beatitude, Migrei Zechet, Migrei B'nei Shechina, to have that kind of bliss conferred upon one, A single hour of Kiras Ruach Beilam Haba, a single moment, is superior to the totality of all kinds of joys and pleasures, any kind of experience a person can have Beilam Hazeh. But in moral terms, in spiritual terms, not where you're going to be metaphysically pampered, but where you will be challenged and where you will respond, a single hour of tshuva u'maisotayim Beilam Hazeh, greater than all of them. In other words, the hour of meeting, the hour of joining the Rabbeinu Shleilam at his table and standing before him, that is so much more meaningful than all Chayil Mabo, more meaningful than all the dividends and all the fruits and all the benefits we're going to reap. Lipcha Sameach Shatoy Melifne Malchus Shleilam. And Chazal, I believe, had a word for this, for that appreciation. Chazal had certain classification of tshuvas. The prime classification is tshuva me'ave and tshuva me'ire. What does tshuva me'ave mean? There are two elements here. One element has to do with the impulse and the impetus from where the momentum comes. What is the so-called efficient cause in Aristotelian terms? The other has to do with the content. I presume the distinction between tshuva and tshuva meira is in two respects, but that which is relevant to our immediate purpose is a tshuva mehave, that which is identified, as the Rambam does in Pagimich is Tshuva, with Lishmo. The Rambam identifies what is not only with the Tshuva, it's the last Pagimich is Tshuva, but he talks about the total of Avedis Hashem. Avedis Hashem, which is Lishmo, that's Me'ava. And what's Me'ava is Lishmo. And the Lishmo Tshuva Me'ava, therefore, is a Tshuva of Lishmo. And Lishmo means not only that you're doing it L'shem Mitzvah, L'shem Rabbeinu Shleilam, without angling, as it were, and beginning to count your blessings in the world to come. It's without what count your blessings in the world that you're in. Tshuva Me'av is tshuva for the encounter per se. That's what Shir HaShirim is all about. The mutual love, the depth of the relationship, the intensive relationship, which for us is an aspiration, and part of the Ben Shleilam is a pure gift, a gift for which there can be no greater. So do we have simcha in tshuva? Not the simcha which is oblivious to the tragedy, which disregards the pain, which tries to paper over the failure. All of those elements are there. But transcending all is the fact that not only those elements are there, but we are there. We're there to confront, we're there to be challenged, we're there to respond. And we are there to feel the full power and the full glory of the momentous and marvelous encounter between ourselves and the Ben Shleilam, and the experience of tshuva, and that stam tshuva, but that tshuva me'ave, which is the purest, the noblest. Yadus is not so demanding as to prohibit thinking about tomorrow's produce, but we can idealize the lishma aspect, and at the very least, let us recognize the lishma aspect to the point of characterizing and informing the nature and the experience of tshuva as we have it. As we stand on the eve of Yom Kippur, looking prospectively, specifically as Jews, as Yom Kippur is Krisas Bris, Abayana Melech Hadorov, and Abayana Melech Hadorov is precisely the moment of the encounter, the marvelous opportunity which is given to us. It's, the door is open all year, but particularly on Yom Kippur. Lifnei Hashem Titoru, we purify ourselves, but first and foremost, we're eternally grateful and animated by the very opportunity to stand there, Lifnei Hashem.